Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We're in a series called From This Day Forward. And I'm Pastor Mark Zweifel. I'm one of the pastors here at True North and excited to bring this this installment of our collection here called From This Day Forward. It's a marriage series. It's a series on relationships and marriage. And how many of you guys believe marriages can be great again? We not only do we have to try to make America great again or Fairbanks great again or our lives great again, we can make marriages great. In fact, if we serve a great God, and we just sang a song about it, if we serve a great God, God did not go, well, you know, I just hope their marriages can be okay. Right? You know, you can not only just have good marriages, some of you might be okay marriages, but I think God will allow us and help us have great marriages are possible. And this series we've been talking about, in fact, the world, when I say the world, statistics say 50% of marriages in our culture end in divorce. And I would listen and go, if that's the truth, then we shouldn't listen to how culture talks about marriage. We should look at how the Bible talks about marriage. Because God designed us to be with one wife and one man and one wife for life. That was that's how God designed marriage. And God's got a good way. God is for you. And so in this series, we talked a few weeks ago about the foundation of a great marriage is seeking God first. If you seek Him first and His righteousness or living in the right, you can add all the stuff of life and kids and family and bills and home and jobs and all those things. But if you seek Him and you do things right, God will add all these things to you. There can be great marriage. Last week we talked about how to fight fear. If you missed that message, go online and listen to our podcast. We have a video podcast online as well. Today we're talking about have fun. That's the romance, the intimacy side of things today. And next week we're talking about pure. Guys, this is important. Follow me. God's design for marriage. If you go in the Bible, God's design for marriage is one man and one woman for life. We see that in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. God starts the family off that way. And then in the New Testament, He defines it for the whole world. He decides it's not just one man and one wife for life. In the New Testament, check this out. Lust equals adultery. So all of us need to say, God, how do we live this life called purity? So next week we'll talk about that. Because God's standard for our purity is higher than the world. Everything God created, the devil's perverted. And so next week we'll talk about how to stay pure. Today we're going to have a lot of, we're going to talk a lot of fun today. How many want to know purity's fun too? And then the 2 weeks from now we're talking about how to never give up. But today I want to spend some time talking about how to have fun. And in order to have fun, there has to be this culture of life in your marriage. This life-giving culture. And Jesus came to give life in what? Life more abundantly. He came to give this life, this overflowing life. In fact, we see in Deuteronomy, God kind of, as He's getting His people ready for the promised land. They're on their way to the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 30, it says this. Verses 19 and 20, it's on your notes as well. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you. Now, you want to know, you know, the heavens and the earth can be a witness against us. Now, how many want to know that's a pretty big witness stand? I call the heaven and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you, in essence, a choice. And what's the choice? Life or what? Death. Blessings and curses. Now choose life. He's saying there's a choice. You can have blessing or you can have curse. Anyone here say, I'm of the curse one. I want the curse. Who here say, I know, I'm of the life people. I want life. I want life. I want the life. I want that. And it says choose life. Listen, why? So that you and your what? Your children. Some versions actually say so that you, your sons, and your sons' sons If you're here today, whether you're in this auditorium or you're in one of our overflow venues or you're online, check this out. What he's saying is this choice can anchor your family or yank your family chain. That your choices can bring life, but not just life for a marriage, but life for a family, but more than just a family. I'm so blessed. I think I shared a couple weeks ago. My parents have been married for 52 years now. My in-laws have been married for 49 years. My grandparents were married for 51 years before leukemia stole my grandmother's life. And there's been no divorce on my side or my wife's side of our extended family. When I say no divorce, from my parents or my siblings or my wife's family or her grandparents or her siblings, divorce hasn't hit. And I think because somewhere along the line, there were some grandparents and great-grandparents who drew a line in the sand that says, I'm choosing life. If you choose life, for you and your children, it says that you may live long in the land and may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Choose life. Today, I want to talk about how do we create this life-giving culture in our home, because if we have a life-giving culture and we choose life, then I'll tell you right now, there will be a lot of fun in your home. If there's not a lot of fun in your home, we're calling this message from this day forward. Which means you can't take back yesterday, but we can change tomorrow. In fact, look at me, friends. It's never too late to begin again. It's never too late. Maybe your marriage isn't where you want it to be. Well, from this day forward, that's how do you develop a life-giving culture? Number one, if you're taking notes, it's on your worship guide. Life-giving relationships look to God as the source of their life. I can't put pressure on anyone to make me happy. Now, if you were to ask me, does Heidi make you happy? I'd say no. Heidi doesn't make me happy. Heidi doesn't have the power to make me happy. I'm either happy because I choose to be happy, but no other person can make me happy. You know, God has to be the source. See, I was happy and Heidi was happy before we got married. Two people coming together, it's not like one half and one half make a whole. No, two wholes make a whole. God has to be your source of significance. Anyone remember the old movie, Cool Runnings? And John Candy was a coach of the Jamaican bobsled team. You dead? Yeah, man, you know. And if you haven't watched the movie, I'd encourage you to watch the movie. But there's a scene in that movie where, now I encourage you, if you watch it and go, oh my goodness, I can't believe Pastor, forget that I asked you to watch the movie. But the Jamaican bobsled team, the coach was asked by one of the participants on the bobsled team, Coach, why did you cheat? Because he's a part of the American bobsled team who won the gold medal, and then they were taken away because they found out they cheated. And so the player or the participant on the team said, why did you cheat? And John Candy's response was, a gold medal is a wonderful thing, but if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it. Hey, a wife is a good thing, but if I'm not whole without my wife has no ability to make me whole. And so God, if you're at a place where you're not whole, you need to say, God, I need to find you as the source of my strength, because if not, I go into the marriage and I suck life. I'm expecting my spouse to fulfill be my source of life, and she or he can't be your source of life. And so if we're not enough without a spouse, we'll never be enough with a spouse. And so God is your source of life. You have to have a deep relationship with Jesus. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you have to begin a relationship with Jesus. And from that beginning, you begin to take steps to grow in that relationship with Jesus. The second life-giving principle is life-giving relationships happen when two servants, say servants, are in love. Two servants are in love. You see, it doesn't work if two masters are in love. If you have two masters in love, you have war. all the time. You can't have one master and one servant, because if you have one master and one servant, you have abuse. You have power, and one's always the other one, authoritative, and that doesn't work. You need two servants who are in love who choose to serve each other. Great relationships take a lot of work, but you serve each other. Yeah, have you ever taken the DISC method for the profile for personalities, the DISC, D-I-S-K? I did it once, and we had Lance Wallnau come to our church. We did it at our church in Vegas. I was 40 out of 40 on D. He called me Hitler. It's very encouraging. I was D-I, and my wife was S-C. We're completely different. I read the Five Love Languages. How many of you guys read that book, Five Love Languages? They say it's a great book, but that book was, it's not fair. I read that book and I realized, God, I'm going to have to really work hard. Words of encouragement are my love language, and over time, my wife has learned to give words of encouragement, but acts of service is hers. Words of you know, and so if acts of services are hers, and I didn't realize that, and I'm not cleaning up and doing dishes and those things, she's not wanting to give me any words of affirmation, right? And marriage is hard, but marriage happens when two servants come together. When we got married. We'd go on vacation. I would set my alarm for 6 a.m. because there has to be an agenda. You have to get something done that day, right? And I realized, my wife goes, can we just be lazy? Going, lazy's not in my vocabulary. The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary, and lazy is way before that. No. But I had to learn that she was my work. I had to realize that she was that part of my life I had to work hard for, because marriage is a life-giving relationship happen when two servants are in love. And so I don't know where you and your spouse are, but I can tell you right now, if one's master and one's servant, it doesn't work. If two people are masters and they both got to be right all the time, go back and listen to last week. Third life-giving principle. Life-giving relationships make the choice every day. You have to choose life every day. There's this myth out there that, well, we fell out of love. Love isn't a ditch that you fall into and then you can fall out of. Friends, love is a choice. Well, we fell out of love. No love. I think there's analogy. It's more like a fire. And I don't heat my house. We have radiant floor heat, so we can be lazy. I don't have to make firewood and all those things right now at this stage in my life. But someday we may move and purchase a house that has fire, all those things. But I grew up in a home that had firewood. I learned real quick. This is scientific. It's marriage related too. If you don't put wood in the fireplace or fireplace insert or wood stove, whatever you have, or pellet, whatever, if you don't put something in, there comes a time it dies. You got to stoke the fire. Now, here's the challenge. Look at me. If you don't stoke the fire and you wonder why there's no heat, the challenge becomes this. All the other you got to be careful where you warm your hands or what fire you warm your hands by, friends, right? And if your marriage isn't hot and there's not the warmth in your marriage, then other relationships sometimes give off heat that before you know it. That's why adultery happens. That's why marriages break apart, because somewhere along the line, we quit stoking the fire. And no one else can stoke your marriage fire but you. It's not only one person's job to put wood in the fire. See, here's what I know. Oxygen's free. The fire's been lit. You have to have fuel. And if the fuel ceases, so does the flame. But it's a choice every day. And for my wife and I, we have date nights. We don't do it every week, but probably 3 out of 4 weeks we'll have a date night. And my kids will go like, Dad, you've been out this week and you're taking Mom out. Why Mom this time? Hang out. And we're like, because you're going to leave us someday. I treat you good because you're going to pick out my old folks' home. I get that. But you're going to leave. And I'm going to grow old with this hottie. With a body. And we're going to sip lemonade through dentures someday. So I want to make sure we're strong. Because after you leave, because too many people have allowed their marriages to revolve around their families. And when the families are gone, there's no marriage. Stoke the fire. It's your choice. Now, some of you said, Mark, I thought you were going to talk about sex. We're getting it right now. God wants us to have fun. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, it says live happily. Say happily. Ecclesiastes says live happily with a woman you love through all the meaningless days of life. You have to give Solomon a little bit of freedom here. He was just at that place where he thought life was totally meaningless. But he said live happily with a woman you love through all the meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. The wife God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. The wise men said live happily. In Ecclesiastes 9:9, in the New International Version, it says, enjoy life with a wife whom you love. Enjoy life. Now, I grew up. Anyone grew up in one of those churches that was really strict? I grew up in church that, like, you didn't talk about playing cards. I was the only kid in high school that went to a dance, and oh, that was like, does he really love Jesus? He's a senior. He's going to homecoming. What's wrong? In fact, I called my youth pastor up and I said, can I borrow your shoes? Because I rented a tux, but I don't have dress shoes. I'm a dairy farmer. So I borrowed my youth pastor's shoes and he shined them up. And he said, you know, I don't really know if I agree in dances. I think the church I grew up in didn't believe in premarital sex because they thought it might lead to dancing. But the Bible says enjoy your wife. Enjoy. Have fun. And the churches I went to, you can't do cards. It was like everything was off limits. It's like, wait a second here. Did God want us to have fun? Now, God created us as triune beings. As God's a triune God. But he put within us a soul, a spirit, and a body. A soul is our emotions. Then we have a body. I really am sad some of you missed the first service, because it's always fun to hear someone else preach a message, because then you can pick it apart like my staff picks me apart. You said this, Pastor. It was so funny. Pastor Rob preached the first service, and he says this. No, I won't go there. Never mind. Ask him what I texted him if you really want to know. But I think God wants us to have fun in our entire sphere of who we are, in our emotions, our soul, our emotions, in our body, and then in our spirit, spiritually. If we're triune beings, should we not find fulfillment in life in every aspect of who we are? If God created us and God knit us together in our mother's womb and we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has designed us, then God's designed us to enjoy our life and enjoy our spouse. And so I'm going to unpack three ways I believe we can enjoy. We can enjoy God, our spouse, emotionally. We enjoy him physically, and we can enjoy them spiritually. So let's talk about emotionally first. See, emotions are important. And emotions, we have to fill the emotional bank account or tanks in our spouse. And the emotional tank is filled often with words. And in 1 Peter, I love what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. And then he says this, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. He's talking about words right there. Live in harmony, live in unity, but be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil, insults with insults, but with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. In other words, if you live in harmony and you bless and you don't insult, there's going to be a blessing that comes back to you. In other words, this is through back and forth life-giving relationship. But to a woman, and follow me here, a woman her ears and what she... I always told students, a youth pastor, people think that our main sex organ is the biological part of our body, but a woman's ears are the most important part of her body because what she hears. And girls, be careful if you're not married. Be careful what you who you let speak into your ear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because there are some guys that will tell you what they know you want to hear so they can do what they know they want to do. Guys, men, what you say to your spouse is so important. Now, you might say, well, no, my husband's more emotional. Well, then what you say to your husband's very important. But the emotional, and that's why how many times people have gotten in a little bit of hustle and fight, and the last thing they're thinking about now is the next part of fun called sexual fun. Because it's like, oh, you said some words, and it just closed my spirit. Because here's the deal. Friends, you don't understand, is that if she doesn't see your heart, you won't see her body. Can I be that blunt? And the way to her heart is through listening or hearing. And the moment she starts talking and opens your heart up, you should just say, Lord, this is going to be a good night. I'm going to keep, if I keep my mouth shut right now. Our soul, it's the emotional side. Have fun. And so your date nights, make them fun. But nowadays, with these things, how many times have you ever gone on a date and you look around at the table at the number of couples who are like checking Facebook out? Quit checking Facebook and check out his face. I am your Instagram woman. Let's have a little Snapchat chat. All right. But emotionally, you've got it. You've got to be on it. Yes, have fun. Enjoy life. But feed each other's emotions, your soul. Build each other up. The second part is God made us physically. And there's an art to the physical here. And we're going to talk about this. In fact, see, God's way works. The world's way doesn't work. God, again, one man, one woman for life, and all lust is adultery. But you pervert that, and all of a sudden, you've got people bringing pornography into marriage, and, well, anything that happens in the marriage bed's kept pure. It's our room. Guys, friends, let me tell you something. One woman, one life. Lust is adultery. You should have eyes for only one, and that's your spouse. Now, that's where, I'm probably the only man in here that ever struggles with lust and still struggles with lust. Judge me right now. Pin me up on a cross. I mean, whatever, right? But God puts pleasure in sexuality, and the devil's tried to pervert that, steal it, take it from marriage, and put it every other place other than marriage. But guys, it's meant for marriage. And within the context of marriage, and see, God did not see Adam and Eve and go in the bushes and go, oh no, what I create. Oh no. What's going on over there, people? Nope. Proverbs, it says this. I'm going to read a couple verses here and then unpack it here. May your fountain be blessed. That's talking about the guy. May your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. And then he begins to describe a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated by her love. In other words, there should be something so drawn to her that intoxicates you as a man. And then it says this in Song of Solomon. Your breasts are like two fawns, like twin fawns of a gazelle that browse among the lilies. Scripture often talks about the male as a fountain and the woman as a well or as a doe. And you might say, well, why in the world I hunt? Any hunters in here? Anybody a hunter? Okay. And I learned real quick. I hunt with some really good hunters. And the first year I had rain pants that were really loud because I wanted to stay dry and I was too cheap to go buy the expense. And it's expensive to go hunting with good gear. And so I'm like walking into where we're going to set up and sit for a while and call moose in. And my buddy's like, yeah, I could see him rolling his eyes like my daughters roll their eyes. I'm like, that's not good when a man rolls their eyes like that. And it was International Sign Language, and he says, you know, Mark, you're really loud. You walk in here. I learned that the approach to Moose is really important. I learned that if you approach them wrong and you're too loud or you don't do it gracefully, they run away. Let me just say this, man. I hope you catch what I'm saying. I think the Bible says they're deer and they're grazing on lilies over here. And if the approach really matters, men. Because if you come in too fast and too loud and you're not graceful and you're gentle, then whoop, got a headache, sorry, got to do the laundry. I think the kids need to talk. Why are you laughing? You're all going to go home and judge me and go, he messed, you know, yeah. Men, be careful with your approach. Women, just make an approach. Did you hear that? See, my dream come true if I was a hunter would be that I would wake up, I would cook my breakfast, and I would look outside into the six-wheeler, and there'd be a big moose laying right there for me, and I don't have to even hunt. I mean, wouldn't that be like the dream come true for a hunter? Like, not have to do any work, and they're just like, there they are. Well, it's like, wow, that was easy. That's a good day. So, men, be careful with your approach. Women, just make the approach. Now, I want to be careful because the world cheapens. Listen, the world cheapens relationships. That's why being tender, being loving, being affectionate, bringing romance. See, a girl's main sex organ is her ears and what she hears and speaks emotionally. Men's are their eyes and what they see. And so we have to be careful, oh, watch little eyes what we see. But we have to be, so there's the ear gate and the eye gate, but God said you should be intoxicated with the wife of you. There should be something so draws you there. We need to understand that we can't dilute that with lots of other images and lots of other things. For our wife, our spouse. Now, James says to be doers of the word, not just hearers. So just go home, guys, and be doers of the word. All right. You're supposed to shout me down, guys. Let's try to help you out. No. We can have fun emotionally with each other. We can laugh. We can have a life in our marriage. We can have fun in the sexual intimacy, physical side of marriage. But friends, there's a third part of who we are that without this, we're still not completely fulfilled, and that's the spiritual side. You can have fun spiritually, and when you do, friends, it bonds you greater than anything else. And that's why there's people out there that are good. There's something missing. But sometimes what's missing is that spiritual side where it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. You're holy partners. God designed the two of you, he made you different, but he made you to come alongside and experience fun together. And part of that is serving Jesus together spiritually. Some of that means, and I'll tell you some of the greatest times for me, and I'm blessed to do it almost every week as my wife often leads worship. I get to preach and we like, man, we got to do this together. But God designed us to experience fun with our spouse spiritually. And so if you're here and you're, now if your spouse doesn't come, you just keep praying for your spouse, right? Don't give up. But if you sit as a couple every week and you come and you sit in the pews and you haven't gotten spiritually involved, and I would say do something. We in a few weeks we're rolling out our 12 Days of Christmas campaign, which is all sorts of incredible ways to serve our city, and whether it's ringing Salvation Army bells, and I go with my wife and my kids and we ring the bells together. It's like, it's fun because as a family we're helping our city, we're serving. We don't do Grow Track because we need you at our church. We do Grow Track because you need to serve. There's something that happens when you do it. There's something that happens when you realize life's not about you being served by everyone else, but it's about you activating yourself to serve. And you learn how to be a servant. And when you serve, there's something that happens in you. God made us that way. Now, He designed us that way. And so, in fact, I want to close with this thought. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. And I've read this before, and I've preached it before, but I've never thought about it in the area of every marriage until putting this message together. It says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's your treasure? Your treasure is where you spend your time, your efforts, your possessions. It's and wherever you put it, the Bible says what follows, your heart follows. So wherever you spend the most time, the most energy, and so if you spend the most time and energy and money for work or your hobbies, that's where your what you treasure, it's where your heart is. And so the question is are you making your spouse the thing you treasure? And it applies, is your spouse getting the best of you? The best. The best of your time. The best of your efforts. The best of your possessions. See, if the grass is greener somewhere else, start watering your lawn. Because if the grass is greener on the other side, the water bill's higher over there. So if you're here today and you say, man, the grass looks a lot greener in a lot of other marriages, or it looks happier in their marriage or whatever, then start, I promise you, water your own lawn, spend the time, spend the energy, spend the money, because that's where that happens, that's where your heart goes. If you're in the give up phase today, number one, I want to say I'm sorry, because I don't think it's a fun place to be. I've heard a lot of stories. Watched a lot of heartbreak. But I would say pour your heart, pour your soul, pour your time, pour your energy, pour your money into your spouse. And friends, the Bible says where your treasure is, so will be your heart. So if you're in a give up phase, I'll tell you right now, start spending your time, your money, your energy, and make that spouse your number one priority. And I would say if you give it some time, watch what God will change. Amen? Watch what God will change. Here's the key thought for this message, and that's this. Choices lead. Feelings follow. Choices lead. Feelings follow. You make the choices, and feelings happen after that. So begin to have a life-giving relationship. And begin to invest in each other. Now, today as we close, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ if you never have. So if you're here today, you've never begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's as simple as we say ABC, A, admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. A, admit we've sinned, we've all sinned. And B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. See, here's the day. I read this last week. Jesus came to this earth. Matthew 1, read the story when he came, Christmas. It says he came to take away the sins of the world. He came because the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. We all have an expiration date on the milk carton of our life. And so the only way to get forgiven of our sins is A, to admit it, B, to believe that he died for our sins, and C, to confess him as Lord. If you're here today and you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I say this often, if you leave here today and forget who I am or True North is, you haven't lost a whole lot. If you shut the computer off or you move out of an overflow room, you haven't lost. But if you leave here today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. So I want to pray with you. Bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room. You've never made a commitment to Jesus, but today you want to start. Just pray this prayer sometimes. I pray out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. But I believe you died for me. So Jesus, please forgive me for my sins today. Please be my Savior and my life leader. And help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.